Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, May the 28th, the Friday before Memorial Day. And we're going to be chatting today with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We will, in fact, be talking about Memorial Day coming up in a couple of days. We're also going to talk about all these drugs coming over the border. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, is pretty angry about it. He should be. Obviously, when you take the border patrol and they're sitting there doing all kinds of things they were not supposed to be doing, well, that gives the criminal elements an opening to bring more drugs into the country. A couple of other things we'll touch on really fast because we have a lot to get into tonight. The media and President Biden. If you think he's getting good media, I think you're probably right about that. And blue cities. Blue cities are just the crime wave in some of these blue cities is actually frightening. But let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, I don't know. It looks kind of cloudy here, but it doesn't rain. What about down there?
We're supposed to have a thunderstorm here. We're under a thunderstorm alert sometime around after 9 o'clock tonight. And we're supposed to have – we may have some rough weather, but it's supposed to be passing pretty quick.
Yeah, now that I look at the weather report, it looks like we'll be it'll be raining at midnight and let's say in the early hours of the morning. So we're all going to be sleeping when it rains up here in Dallas. But here, I want to make your day, George. I want you to feel really young at heart. John Fogerty is 76 today. John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival, Proud Mary, Green River, Run Through the Jungle. My God, they had some great songs. He's 76 years old today. Every time I hear about these rockers getting into their mid-70s, I feel old because I used to buy their records, George.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, this was the music that we grew up in. What's very, very interesting about it is that the transition that occurred in America in the early 50s into the rock and roll era that flourished for the baby boomers, it was music that was created by the kids themselves. Mm-hmm. Up until that time, I mean, Tin Pan Alley and, all of these, great music machines that were out there that were, the folks that wrote music. It was mostly just, adults writing, for everybody.
Right.
And then all of a sudden comes along, this revolution and kids start writing their own music. And it really, it transitioned everything. And it was very, very, very interesting because groups like Creedence Clearwater Revival were banned in the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And, they were not allowed because they classified it as bourgeois music, but their fear was that kids would start writing their own music.
Yeah. So are you telling me that they had a cancel culture in the old Soviet Union?
Yeah, no kidding. I can't imagine.
Yeah, what a shock, What a shock that they would have a cancel culture in the Soviet Union or Red China or Cuba or North Korea. I would have never believed that, George, that they had a cancel culture in those countries. Yeah, you're really shocking me when you say this tonight. But I'll tell you one more thing about Fogerty and ZCR and all those groups that we grew up with. What amazes me is that their music is still very much being listened to. I mean, that's the thing that I find remarkable.
Very
if anybody
true.
Had said to me, when I was listening to ZCR, that we'd be listening to this stuff 50 years later, I'm not sure I would have believed it, George.
Yeah. I had a very good friend of mine, I've dated myself several times. I'm 70 years old. I had a friend of mine and his wife over here at the house the other day. He's 40 years old. And, I had my radio on while we were chatting. And who was it? It was one of the 1960. Crosby, Stills, and Nash came on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he reacted to it. He liked that music. I mean, that music is just not going away.
No, it's not. And, in fact, one of the most interesting things for me was our second son came home from Texas A&M his freshman year for vacation, Christmas vacation. And I walk into his room, and he's listening to the Beatles. And I'm going, wait a minute. Where did that come from? I mean, you like the Beatles, I said? And he goes, yeah, they're great. I mean, they're great. I mean, they're great, great sound, great. And I'm saying, oh, my God, now that is really something. Cause I,
really, really. Well, you know,
I never went to my father and said, oh, Frank Sinatra, I really like him. I never did that with my dad. Now, maybe I should have because Frank is a great singer. But it's just fascinating how – that's the thing about John Fogerty. I mean, you can listen to the radio today, and they're playing that stuff.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I tell my friends that I'll get old whenever Mick Jagger and Keith Richards get old. You know.
Well, Keith will outlive all of us.
I think
Keith will make it to 150. and tell stories about Mick Jagger and all that kind of stuff. But, well, a lot of fun to get into that. But when I saw that John Fogerty was 76 years old today, I just said, my gosh, where did the time go? Well, George, I want to talk a little bit tonight about some of the issues on the front pages. We'll run through a couple of them quickly. But let's begin with Memorial Day because, of course, that's on Monday. And this is a day that, you know, it was originally called Decoration Day, and over time it became Memorial Day. I remember reading something about this, but I don't remember exactly when it became Memorial Day, but I think maybe it was after World War I. But it was originally, of course, conceived as Decoration Day following the Civil War, and that's kind of how it from there it grew to what it is now. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because I saw a statistic the other day that only 43% of the American people know what Memorial Day is, which is pretty frightening. And then the other question is, because it's an extended holiday, you know, Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it almost people see it more as a quick vacation rather than Memorial Day. And I wonder sometimes, George, if we're not losing these holidays like a Memorial Day simply because, you know, it's become just an extra or a long weekend. And I'm not knocking anybody who wants to take a long weekend. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. But if we go back to the old days when it was May 30th or May 31st, and that's the only day it gets celebrated, then the focus is on Memorial Day, not the weekend. So maybe, George, maybe we should take it back to the day when it was one day and whatever day of the week it fell on, George.
Well, you know, again, it's one of those situations where we fear, rightly so, we should fear that we are losing the identity of the nation. I mean, the whole idea for Memorial Day was to remember those that have given their utmost in the defense of the nation. If this is just becoming another day, another, you know, three-day weekend, if it's more important for that than it is to remember and honor the folks who gave their lives for us, then, you know, we are losing. Our culture is our nation and our culture are losing it. And I bring it back to the schools. I wonder, what they are teaching us in the public schools and in the colleges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the parents teaching the kids? I mean, for crying out loud. So much has been done, and mm-hmm. One of the things that's already beginning to be forgotten is 9/11.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's very disturbing and very tragic this is happening.
Well, of course, 9/11, you know, I have a hard time believing what I'm about to say, but 9/11 will be 20 years in September.
Yeah.
20 years. I mean, and I can still remember 9/11 like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all remember looking at the TV and seeing that plane crash or, you know, crash into the World Trade Center. So, I mean, I remember that quite clearly, and here we are 20 years later. So, again, I'm not trying to be a jerk and saying that people shouldn't have a little burger and maybe the barbecue and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I do feel that we lose our history at our own peril, that we lose our history and we lose something about ourselves when we lose our history, George.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, we cannot, you know, in my book, we cannot afford to not honor those that have fought for our freedom. We can't afford
mm-hmm.
that. The minute that you do that, then what you're going to do is absolutely depreciate the whole idea of liberty, of freedom. You can't
right.
do that.
You
just can't.
And of course, in on Memorial Day, we celebrate those who gave their lives, which is the ultimate price. I mean, on Veterans Day, we celebrate everyone who has served, you know, which is, of course, something very important, too. But on Memorial Day, we celebrate the ones who fell, the ones who were killed, the ones who gave their lives, who paid the ultimate price. And that makes Memorial Day even more significant because Veterans Day, there are still veterans around that
yeah,
you can
right.
salute. I mean, you can see them marching and these parades. But Memorial Day, I mean, the guys were celebrating on Memorial Day are the guys who didn't come back. And that makes them even more important in my book, George.
I agree. I mean, you know, this is this situation that we've got where we've got to honor, you know, we're forgetting to honor people who
mm-hmm.
have fought and died, not to mention the ones that we are now currently, you know, should be currently honoring. And we've got a lot of them. From Afghanistan and from Iraq.
Oh, sure.
It's very, very, I mean, to me, it's very disturbing. That's the only word that I can use. Because
it is, no, yeah.
I do not want, I cringe at the thought that young people don't understand or appreciate that the life that was given. I mean, my parents, I remember, you know, December 7th was a big day for us. Because I had an uncle that had died. My mother had a cousin who had died in the first wave of the attack at Pearl Harbor. And then she had another cousin who had died on the death march at Bataan. And,
wow.
You know, I mean, the whole idea of December 7th was very, very much engraved in their psychic and in their minds. Then there was the issue of the end of World War II was also a big deal because so many people came home and it was just a celebration. It was just a celebration. It was just so the idea of forgetting these people, I don't know. It's very foreign to me, and it's just very, very upsetting that we have that we would have a generation now that just has been taught not to honor the flag and honor our veterans.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more because when you lose your past, or you don't remember the ones who made it possible for you to get here, I think you're not only are you doing a great disservice to those people, but you're doing a great disservice to yourself. Because I think people who think about their ancestors and who value what their ancestors did, I think they're happier people because they have a better sense of priorities in life.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I've always enjoyed talking to veterans because. Veterans, I think, have a good sense of priorities because they were in battle or they were in war and they saw their friends getting killed. And so I think they have a better sense of priorities. You know, the things that maybe upset somebody don't upset maybe a veteran as much because he says, man, that's not worth getting angry about. You know, think of this. I mean, I had to save my buddy's life in the battlefield. You get a different sense of proportion, I think, when you have that military experience. So let me ask you one more question about Memorial Day. Were you in Washington when this change was made, or was this I keep thinking that it happened under President Nixon. I don't know if I'm right about that.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen under Reagan.
When it became a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, right.
That's
no,
what I
it
mean
didn't
by
happen
the change.
Under Reagan.
No, it didn't happen. Okay, I kept thinking that it may have happened under President Nixon, maybe, or maybe it was before President Johnson. I don't know. I don't know exactly when. I keep thinking that it was in the 1970s when those changes were made, and maybe it was President Nixon, maybe it was President Carter. I don't remember. But either way, I sometimes, you know, one last thing I'll say about this, George, and then we'll move on. I just think that maybe we're not thinking too much about it. You know, when it's a Memorial Day weekend or Memorial Day time off, maybe we're thinking too much about the time off and not about Memorial Day. So maybe we ought to go back to the old days, and, you know, people have plenty of time to go to the beach. They have plenty of time to take a weekend and go to Galveston if that's what they want to do. But let's keep Memorial Day going, George.
You got it. I think we need to. We really, really need to.
Yeah, just to, as I say, just to remember the past. And one quick note about Memorial Day. There was a young man at our church who was killed in Iraq, and I remember his father and I used to be ushers. And I guess the family has moved out of the area, but when this happened, his father was an usher at our church. And I was with him the Sunday morning that when he went home, he found out that his son had been killed in Iraq. So, you know, it's people like that that I remember on Memorial Day. We're going to take a little break, George, and then when we come back, we got a few other things to get into, including the border. We'll get our report from George on what's happening down on the border. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking with our friend George Rodriguez in South Texas. George, one more time, John Fogerty is 76. I'll say that one more time rub it in for anybody out there who, if you don't know who John Fogerty is, anybody out there listening, if you don't know who John Fogerty is, you probably have heard his music, probably have listened to his music. You probably like his music, but you probably don't know the name. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that. If anybody in the audience doesn't know who John Fogerty is, one of the truly great guitar players of our time. Well, let me change the topic here. I want to talk about the border, though. But before that, I want to just get on a couple of quick reactions from you, George. The media and President Biden. It sure looks to me like they're covering for him.
Boy,
because,
are they.
the way they're treating him and the way they don't ask him any questions, they let him get away with not answering questions, I think they're protecting him, George, and that's not good for the country.
It's definitely not. I mean, it really, really shows their bias. It shows how they are playing political favorites. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute farce, and really, you know, this whole situation, particularly with COVID, that President Trump was raising the alarm that it was of Chinese origin, and everybody mm-hmm. jumped on him, including Biden, accusing mm-hmm. him of being racist, accusing him of being anti-Chinese, accusing him of everything. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, we are in a situation where it's almost confirmed that it did come from a biolab in Wuhan, China. And mm-hmm. what does the media quickly forgets what they were saying before, and they are now circling the wagons and saying, well, you know, we need to do something. We need to look into it, and we applaud the president for looking into it, and the strong. And really, in reality, the president, Biden, is not really doing that much. I mean, he is the facts have surfaced on their own. And you know, when his when Pataki was asked the other day by a reporter, well, what are you guys going to do about it? Are you going to sanction them? Are you going to punish them in any form? Oh, we're not ready for that. You know, it is just shocking that we have a media that lets them get away with it, as well as them playing these footsie games. With agendas that are life and death to the United States.
That's right.
It's shocking.
That's right. No, I think you're exactly right. Exactly right. And there was a scene. I believe it was. I don't know. I think in Delaware, where President Biden was at a ice cream shop, and you know the media is sitting there asking what's his favorite brand or his favorite taste. And I'm sitting there saying, give me a break. Don't you have something better to ask him than that? I mean, come on. Now, the truth is that the White House doesn't allow President Biden to face the public that much or face the media that much. But what surprises me – no, I know. I agree with you. But I'm just saying
that alone,
you would think there'd be more people in the media upset about it.
Yeah, that alone they should be screaming and yelling.
That's right.
Accessibility, but no, they just go along with it.
That's it. That's exactly right. Let me raise another quick topic here, George. The violence in many of these blue cities, seeing violence going through the roof in many, many cities, Chicago, Seattle, Minneapolis, New York City, you name it, Philadelphia. I mean, even here in Dallas, we're having a crime wave. And it's not, you know, it's not to the levels of other places, but, you know, we're having our own little crime wave. And I think that it's all happening in blue cities, and it's getting more and more difficult to recruit police officers. Can you blame them? You know, I was in Maryland with my mom and came back. But when I was there, I had a chance to talk to a lot of friends. Because I went to college out there in Maryland, and still have a lot of friends in the area. And I was talking to one of my friends, and he said, I asked, how is everything going in Baltimore? And he said, look, we need 1,200 police officers in this city. That's what the budget calls for, and they only have 700. George, they cannot fill the gap. They can't. And so, you know, you have a city that short on police officers with a leadership that doesn't seem to care about violence. Well, what do you have? A lot of violence, George.
You get what you. Well, you know, let's bring it home a little bit. I just found out a little while ago, as I was getting ready for the interview, the city of Austin. Now, the city of Austin is experiencing a 100%. Rise in shootings.
I wonder
100%.
Why.
And on the you know, they just announced that they are reducing the Austin Police Department budget by $153 million. By $153 million, they are reducing it. I do not understand what they are thinking. I don't understand, because it's not just a question of police and law and order. It's a question of respect for the law and order.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you've got politicians that openly disrespect the police, and that's what you've got in Baltimore, that's what you've got in Minneapolis, that's what you've got in New York. You've got leaders that openly disrespect the police. When you've got that. And then you're reducing the budget. What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
What the heck is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
Very, very disturbing. Here in San Antonio, we beat back an effort to defund the police. But it was the first time in the nation that that's happened at the polls. It's the first time that it happened. However, the majority of the city council and the mayor, who are liberals, instead of cheering, instead of congratulating, they have all made the statement since then, and this happened May 1st, was when the election happened. Since that time, they have all made the comment that, well, this is the first round. We're still going to work. You know, when you say things like that, what do you think the morale is going to be with the police officers?
Absolutely.
What do you think?
No, you're right. And you're seeing that across the nation. You know, these blue cities are having a hard time keeping their policemen. One thing I was going to say about Austin or some of these cities that are talking defund the police is that the governor has made it quite clear that that these cities are going to lose their funding if they go the direction of defunding the police. But I think the mayors or the politicians of some of these cities should check out what just happened to the, I think it's the mayor of Atlanta or the candidate for mayor in Atlanta who was a strong proponent of defunding the police. And while he was in a campaign, they stole his car right in front of him. And, you know, or something like that. Something like that is the story. And then he denies it later. He says, well, I never called for defunding of the police. Well, yes, you did. I mean, it's on record. But defunding the police has got to be the dumbest thing ever proposed by any political party in the history of the world. And, George, political parties have offered a lot of stupid things, but defunding the police has to top the list without question.
I agree.
Let me turn to our last topic today, which is what's happening on the border. The governor came out strongly today. He was in the Dallas area, and he spoke about I can't think of the formal name of the drug. It's a very dangerous drug that is coming across the border.
Fentanyl.
Yeah, very dangerous from what I understand. You take it, and it's almost like automatic death. It's very dangerous. That's right. But the kids apparently are experimenting with it, and people are experimenting with it, but it's very, very dangerous. And he blames it on, well, the fact that our Border Patrol, well, they're busy doing other things that they're being asked to, you know, they're sitting there literally babysitting children. What are they saying down on the border, George, about all these drugs coming in? I mean, especially the people who live on that border, you know, the ranchers and the families who live in that border, they're the ones, of course, who are seeing this firsthand. What are you hearing down there, George?
Well, the major thing, of course, that we're hearing is that things continue to get progressively worse and more dangerous. Whereas a year ago you rarely, if ever, found somebody carrying a gun. Now you've got a lot of people carrying guns. People are getting stopped all the time, and they're not carrying big rifles they are carrying guns, particularly the ones that are carrying carrying the drugs. The other problem that we've got is that because there are so many aliens entering through certain places, that the Border Patrol is really having to, watch those major entry points. They're not the normal entry points. These are places where the water is low and people can get across. And so, I mean, they're established trails. So the Border Patrol is watching those areas a lot because of children and women that are coming through that they're watching, that they're taking care of, which takes them away from the vast other open spaces, which are now being utilized to bring in the drugs. And it's through those areas where they're bringing in the drugs that young men are coming in carrying these knapsacks full of fentanyl and carrying a gun. And to me, to all of us, it's just a matter of time before there is going to be big shootouts, before they start, There's going to be shootings involving civilians, involving the Border Patrol. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
Right. And then, of course, a lot of those drugs, they make it up here to our cities, and
they're
killing.
No, so much of it
they're
is
already here, probably.
Making it through. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so they end up wrecking the lives of many, many young men and women up here who take it, I suppose, for, well, like kids do, you know, they take stuff like that under peer pressure or just to be cool. And, you know, then we hear later about the teenager who died of an overdose. But I don't, you know, I get the feeling the media is not covering what's happening on the border.
Oh, no.
I mean, when you watch a lot of the channels, they're skipping over it. Fox News is doing a good job. The local paper here, the Dallas Morning News, is doing a fairly decent job. But you don't have the same intensity in coverage. But at the same time, George, I think the American people know that there's something wrong on the border. And they don't like what they're seeing, George.
You cannot deny that people are finding it out through the social media. Social media is really, I mean, I was looking at the number of people that watch postings, for example, from the Laredo sector of the Border Patrol. And, you know, it has, talking to one of my buddies who is the one of the Border Patrol agents down there, he says that the number of people that are reading it and watching it has almost five times what they used to be. And so people are beginning to are looking at it. They just can't believe that it's that it's happening, and you know, they can't believe that our government is just allowing it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that, you know, some the other day somebody was talking to me, and he asked me, you know, what do you think of what's happening on the border? And I said, well, I don't think that's immigration. What we're seeing on the border, what we're seeing is chaos.
Yep.
And ironically, the only people benefiting from this chaos are criminal elements, not just in Mexico, but probably around the world, who are getting these people to Mexico and to our border so they can come over. So, I mean, a lot of money is being paid to these criminal elements. And where's that money coming from? I don't know. Where are these people finding the dollar bills to pay these people? I'm sure they can only take cash. I mean, where is this coming from? And the question I keep asking, George, is what about the people who live on our side, their family members who live on our side? I mean, what if they start getting a knock on the door from somebody saying, I'm here to collect. Where's the money? And they said,
right,
we don't have the money. And, well, we don't have
the
money.
Well, you know, one of the disturbing things, and I posted it on my Facebook page, from the Big Ben sector of the Border Patrol, they picked up on Monday, and they've been picking them up since then. They've been picking them up on a regular basis. But scores of people, I mean, 20, 30 people, dressed in camouflage, all dressed in camouflage. It's incredible. How are they getting that, and why are they, you know, where are they getting these uniforms so that they can cross the border? How are they getting these uniforms?
Right.
I mean,
you're right.
You know, when you've got aliens entering your country dressed in camouflage, you got to ask yourself, what the heck is going on?
That's right. That's right. No, you're right on target there. And of course, my guess is that these are probably uniforms stolen from the Mexican government. I mean, or from Mexican army. I'm guessing that's where it comes from. You know, because there have been many stories in the past of cartels breaking into Mexican Army headquarters and stealing their high-powered guns. I mean, that's how they get a lot of their guns from just stealing it at the Mexican military. I mean, I've heard that. I don't know of any specific case, but the people I know who told me that, I trust them that they're telling me the truth. But it's really a mess. The American people are not being told about it, but I think the American people know what's going on, because you have Democrats like Senator Kelly in Arizona, and Congressman Cuellar in South Texas, as well as these mayors that you keep talking about, and they're up in arms, and they're talking to somebody, they're talking to their own people. So I think this is going to be a bad issue for the Democrats. I think they've overplayed their hand on the border, and it's going to come back to bite them, I think, very hard on, in 2022, George.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that this is headed for a disaster for them, and, I think that this is another reason why they're trying so quickly to act to change things and to open things up and to allow as many people in. One of the biggest headaches that the Border Patrol and ICE have been discussing is how they've been told that they can't stop the people, literally. And even if the Congress becomes Republican, it's going to be very difficult to round up all of these people. What are you going to do with all the thousands that have entered? I mean,
right.
The estimate is by the end of the year, almost 1.2 million people will have entered the United States illegally. I mean,
wow.
That's how are you going to find them and remove them? What are you going to do?
Well,
with
you're
them?
Not. You're not.
No.
Once they're in, they're in. Now they may not become citizens. They may not get a green card, and they may stay illegal forever.
Yeah.
But I think once they're in, it's very difficult to send them back. Well, George, as always, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for giving us your input on the border. And we'll do it the next time. But enjoy your Memorial Day, George. Any particular plans?
Yes, I'm going to a picnic on tomorrow, and then one on Monday as well.
Do
but,
they have a San Antonio parade?
They are to honor the our veterans.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, parade
yeah.
for that. Yeah, we do the same thing down here. Well, thank you so much, George. Have a great weekend,
and
we'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Well, our good friend George Rodriguez from San Antonio, talking a little bit about what's on the front pages. And, of course, I'll repeat it again. Happy number 76 to John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival. I never thought I'd be saying that about John Fogerty, happy number 76. But he is, and very happy 76 to John Fogerty. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.